Imagine standing at the edge of an archaeological dig, peering down into layers of earth that hold not just artifacts, but entire human lives. This is the world of Makor, a fictional tell in Western Galilee where James Michener's epic narrative unfolds. Through this single patch of earth, we witness the entire sweep of human civilization, from prehistoric hunters to modern Israelis, connected by their relationship to the same well, the same hills, the same fundamental human struggles. What makes this journey so compelling isn't just its historical scope, but how it reveals patterns that continue to shape our world today. The conflicts between tradition and innovation, between exclusivity and assimilation, between walls that protect and walls that imprison. These aren't just ancient dilemmas, but ones we still grapple with in our modern societies. Around 10,000 BCE, a hunter named Ur receives a revolutionary proposal from his wife. They should leave their cave and build a house near their well, where she has grown emmer wheat. This marks humanity's pivotal transition from nomadic hunting to settled agriculture. Men will become farmers, not hunters, Ur's wife declares, when her son discovers wheat can be deliberately planted. The family's gradual domestication of animals, particularly the daughter's careful befriending of a wild dog, symbolizes humanity's evolving relationship with nature. This shift also births religious thought. As the family depends on rain and sun for crops, they wonder how to influence these forces. Their son questions why contradictions exist in nature, wondering if humans have predators in the sky, humanity's first philosophical questioning. Throughout Makor's history, two elements determine survival, water access and defensive fortifications. The well represents continuity through millennia of changing civilizations. When Hupu proposes digging a tunnel to secure water during sieges, he addresses settled life's fundamental vulnerability. This engineering project becomes a testament to human ingenuity. Walls provide protection but create isolation. Makor's zigzag gate forces attackers to expose their unshielded right sides while reinforcing cultural differences between those within and without. Religion in Makor evolves as a human response to existential questions. Early inhabitants worship El, Baal, and Astarte gods, demanding constant appeasement through rituals including human sacrifice. Hebrew nomads introduce a revolutionary concept, an incorporeal, invisible, yet all-powerful god who appears as fire. This tension between tangible gods of agricultural peoples and the abstract deity of nomads becomes a central historical conflict. As Judaism develops from tribal religion to ethical system, Rabbi Asher Hagarsi envisions a Torah scroll surrounded by a protective fence, a metaphor for how Judaism preserved itself through laws separating Jews from surrounding cultures, though sometimes at individual cost. Christianity and Islam enter this landscape not as ruptures, but as natural developments within the region's spiritual evolution. Through these transformations, faith systems evolve to meet human needs while preserving core ethical insights. As one character reflects, "We seek God so earnestly, not to find him, but to discover ourselves." History at Makor unfolds as a cyclical pattern where civilizations rise, conquer, assimilate, and fall. Each wave of conquerors believes their dominance permanent, only to become part of the land's complex heritage. The Hebrew conquest under Zadok illustrates this pattern. Despite military victory and destroying Canaanite temples, his people soon worship both El Shaddai and Baal. Cultural assimilation proves more powerful than military conquest, a recurring historical lesson. Tabari embodies this pattern through his family's survival strategy. "My people were here before yours were formed." His ancestors were Canaanites, Phoenicians, Jews, Greeks, Romans, Christians, Arabs, Mamluks, and Turks, adapting to each ruling power while maintaining their connection to the land. The Crusader period further demonstrates this cycle. Count Volkmar establishes Makor as a Christian stronghold, yet by the third generation, his descendants adopt local customs and intermarry. His reflection on the Crusades' failure reveals that military conquest without demographic change cannot create lasting transformation, a lesson modern powers still struggle to learn. Judaism's comprehensive legal codes emerge through rabbinical debates that appear trivial but represent profound philosophical inquiries about preserving identity through diaspora. These meticulous Talmudic processes created an inexhaustible wisdom source that maintained intellectual continuity despite geographic dispersion. Yet this legal system sometimes harmed individuals, as with Zipporah Zaderbaum, unable to remarry without her dead husband's brother's permission. The tension between law as protection and law as prison becomes central in modern Israel, where characters face choices between modernizing religious restrictions or preserving traditions that sustain Jewish identity through centuries of persecution. This balance between tradition and innovation, between community standards and individual needs, remains a fundamental challenge for all legal systems, religious and secular alike. How do we honor traditions that have sustained us while adapting to new realities? When does a protective boundary become a restrictive cage? The novel culminates in modern Israel's struggle to reconcile ancient religious identity with contemporary secular statehood. Characters face impossible choices, symbolizing broader dilemmas. A Kohen unable to marry his beloved divorcee despite her later widowhood. A woman who cannot remarry without permission from a missing brother-in-law. A debate between an Israeli minister and American financier captures competing visions of Jewish identity. Is Israel meant to be a homeland for all Jews, or primarily a spiritual center? This reflects ongoing tensions between Israeli and diaspora Jewish communities. One character offers a powerful critique when leaving Israel. "I've done my part for Judaism," she declares, tired of constantly remembering the Jewish past. She longs for the simpler Jewish life she witnessed among American Jewish women who contributed to their communities without the burden of constant historical remembrance. Throughout this epic journey, the land emerges as the most enduring character, outlasting civilizations, absorbing their contributions, and shaping human destiny across millennia. From prehistoric hunters to modern archaeologists, the land remains the constant presence connecting all human stories. This connection is both physical and spiritual. Characters express mystical bonds to specific geography, seeing Jerusalem as where Yahweh will make himself known, or mourning malaria-ridden swamps that were once fertile fields. The archaeological framework shows how the land preserves human history in its layers, from 200,000-year-old hand axes to modern concrete structures. The relationship between people and land is reciprocal. Humans shape the land through agriculture, architecture, and warfare, while the land shapes societies through its resources, climate, and geography. This creates a moral dimension to land ownership, the strongest claim coming from custodianship, the ability to restore productivity to deteriorated land. This may be the novel's most profound message. Our deepest connection isn't to ideologies or ancient texts, but to the earth itself, the soil that has sustained countless generations and will continue long after we're gone. In recognizing this shared connection to place, we might find common ground across our differences.